I'm Mark Purcell, and this is Cincinnati Edition. This morning, Thane Maynard talks with biologist, environmental activist, and race car driver, Leilani Moenter.
Hi, Leilani, it's Thane.
Hi, Thane.
As I've said, when you and I were together in Washington that time at that Green Award ceremony, I don't think anybody could even dream up something as crazy as trying to be an environmental activist around climate change with the whole crowd that's in race cars and NASCAR. So how did this come about?
So I don't have your typical, I guess, racing background. I started racing when I was in college, and I was earning my degree in biology from the University of California in San Diego. And I've always had a bit of an adrenaline junkie side to me. I like scuba diving. I've been scuba diving since high school, and I like jumping out of airplanes and snowboarding and those kinds of things. And so racing was sort of something I always wanted to try. I always had a really heavy lead foot, and I always got a lot of speeding tickets. And so eventually I saved up some money, and I went to a racing school and just got lucky. There happened to be a local race team owner there that saw me drive, and I was the quickest car on the track that day, and he kind of came over to me after I got out of the car and, you know, just had a little short talk with me that, you know, I should pursue this and that there's not very many women in our sport. And I had shown some natural ability on the track and said, I think you should go for it. And that was, 12 years ago. So I've been doing it ever since.
That is phenomenal, and certainly a phenomenal path. Now, before we get into some of the environmental activism that you're famous for, a lot of public radio listeners probably don't know the difference between NASCAR and IndyCar, and I know you've raced at Daytona. So tell a bit about the kind of racing you do.
Yeah, so I've done both stock cars, which is the NASCAR-style cars that you're thinking of, mm-hmm. as well as open-wheel cars, which are closer to the Indy 500 cars. I ran in the Indy Lights series in 2007, which is one level down from the Indy 500 IndyCar series. And but I've spent most of my career in stock cars. I started out, you know, Saturday night short track racing, and now I'm up to a level that's called the ARCA series, mm-hmm. which is a development league of NASCAR. So we kick off the season at Daytona.
Well, the whole thing is amazing, but again, this juxtaposition between what many people might perceive as a typical crowd that would come to a stock car race, who might not be thought of as the greenest group in America, and here you are talking about, in fact, I think, you know, one of your brands is carbonfreegirl.com. So what does that conversation look like, and how do you make any effective progress?
Well, you know, I actually feel like I make a lot more progress when I'm at the races than when I'm at a lot of the green events that I go to. And the reason being is that when I'm speaking at an environmental festival, like I just got back from speaking at a anti-fracking rally in Denver, you know, I'm speaking to a bunch of like-minded people because they're there because they also support clean energy and they're also environmentalists. And I do go to a lot of these environmental conferences around the country. And it's great to be around people that agree with what I think. But really, if you want to create any real change, the way that you do that is by starting a dialogue with the people who don't agree with you. And so, you know, if we only work with people who believe in the same things that we do, who is going to change the minds of those who don't? I know that, you know, I always have an audience at the NASCAR track. Being a woman in a male-dominated sport, we're definitely the underdog. And so I have a lot of people pulling me just simply for that fact that I am an underdog in the sport. It's always at the racetrack where I feel like I'm having the most effect. And I'd like the environmentalists out there to keep in mind that, you know, just because people like fast cars definitely doesn't mean that they don't care about clean air and clean water.
Absolutely. But now tell the part about how you can claim eco-friendly and even carbon-free when you're in a car going 200 miles an hour around a track. I mean, that's got to use more energy than, a Toyota Prius.
Right. Well, we typically burn, you know, it's 22 gallons in the ARCA car. You know, my races aren't as long as the cup cars, and I also only race when I find green sponsors. So the sponsors that have been on my car, solar companies and wind power companies, the Veterans for Clean Energy, LED lighting, I had the Cove on my car. I ran the first ocean awareness race car at Daytona earlier this year. So for one, the colors of my car are never tinted up with something that's, you know, not promoting the beliefs that I have. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't work with fossil fuels. I don't work with any companies that sell meat. I myself am personally a vegan. So it's sort of a matter of when I'm out there, I'm only carrying those kinds of messages. And I think that's where the most benefit is. Of course, since 2007, I've also adopted an acre of rainforest every time I sit in my race car, which lately hasn't been as often as I'd like, because, you know, it is tough being picky about who I work with. There's not as many companies for me to choose from that I would work with that I would feel fine putting on my car. And then, you know, outside of that, I blog, like you mentioned, on Carbon Free Girl. I blog about all the things I do in my personal life, you know, whether it's giving up meat and dairy products to using solar lighting. I have a rainwater collection system. We have a worm farm composter here at the house. We have our own veggie garden. So I kind of talk about just sort of the lifestyle that I live in trying to reduce my impact on the planet. And by doing that, I've found that race fans have, you know, sort of become interested in it as well and have asked me, you know, where did I get the worm farm composter? And I've even had a lifelong NASCAR fan ask me how I go about adopting my acre of rainforest for every race that I run, mm-hmm. because he couldn't think of what to get his wife for her birthday. And when he read about my rainforest program, thought that that would make a really nice gift for her.
Absolutely. And as any listener knows, the way that conservation will be effective is hundreds of millions, billions of individual choices a day. So these are certainly good examples. Now, I must mention what might be the best slogan ever. On your website and reading, I saw that you say about yourself, never underestimate a vegetarian hippie chick with a race car. So that's even better than it would be on a T-shirt or a bumper sticker. And I'm sure you probably raise a lot of eyebrows when you're with NASCAR Nation.
I do. You know, I'm definitely kind of looked at, I think, as the, you know, the biology girl, the tree hugger, she's going to lecture me about, you know, my truck or whatever. And I definitely know that I have that stereotype that follows me. But I've found that a lot more people are supportive of it than you would think. There's a lot more crossover between race fans and environmentalists than you would ever think. I get to see both of those worlds since I'm in both, so... You know, sometimes I'm at clean energy events and I have tons of people come up to me after my speech and tell me that they've been to the Daytona 500 10 times or the Indy 500 since they were a kid and they're huge race fans. And I also have a lot of NASCAR fans when I'm at the races, when we had those 30,000 fans come through our tent to talk about clean energy, you know, that are very supportive of these efforts and that are, you know, wanting to stop mountaintop removal and mm-hmm. don't want to see the Keystone Pipeline. So there's a lot more crossover. I mean, just because you like fun, fast cars and racing doesn't mean that you don't care about the earth. And racing is evolving. You know, we're starting to use biofuels in the cars. The American Le Mans Series has the Green Racing Challenge where they have some cars using like cellulosic ethanol from wood chips and algae-based biodiesel. Mm-hmm. You're going to have an electric racing car series coming out soon. That's sort of like a open wheel, sort of Formula One lower level division, but it's going to be 100% electric. So I think the sport is going to evolve just like the rest of the world is going to evolve. And, you know, when you really actually look at the impact of the sport, and I had a clean energy sponsor that sort of analyzed all the sports, it actually had a lower carbon footprint than the NFL because the NFL has so many games and so many people flying around and so much television coverage around those however many games they have a week, mm-hmm. whereas NASCAR is usually in one place, you know, for a couple of days. And so the carbon footprint when you went across the season was actually much more for other sports than it was for NASCAR. And keep in mind, too, you know, almost one in three Americans considers themselves a race fan. It's just about 75 million NASCAR fans in the U.S. So that's a huge group of people. It's a gigantic demographic of people that, you know, we need to talk to about these huge environmental issues that our generation is facing that's never been faced before. And we can't have an environmental movement and leave behind 75 million people.
Thanks for what you do. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us. And I'm sure folks will check out both your blog and your website.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
My guest has been Leilani Munter, also known as Carbon Free Girl. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Thane Maynard.